This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Ali Finch and I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Danny, how are we? Are you good today?
What do you mean, Ali Finch? The only Ali Finch? Who's this Ali Finch?
No, I said, I don't know.
You went, Ali Finch.
Ali Finch, that's why I want to change my name.
Ali Finch.
Ali Al-Hamadi, so good.
I tell you what, how good is it?
And I tuck mine in my sock, so...
I was talking to Dad, for those people who don't know what Lee's referring to. We were listening to the game and we was watching the game at the Colchester, which is a brilliant day. And we talked about some of the chants. And obviously everyone's talking about, let's say it's really this sort of super inclusive Wimbledon we're trying to be. And all of a sudden you got, you know, old South London. It's full of, you know, tits, fanny and wombles, if you like. And then obviously Ali's song is referring to something else. It just made me laugh in today's culture how we've kind of got rid of the champagne song. We're like, oh, that's bad. But we'll still do the other ones. I thought it was hilarious.
There was stuff on Twitter about that today, actually. People saying,
oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he's overly keen on his song. Which, do you know what I mean?
My mate Fred, when Ali started screaming, Ali, 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 Hamadi. He scores, and he was doing it constantly. We got some real traction, and then he just got blown away with this new one.
Well, it was the youngsters come in and bought it in. I think fair play to them. At least they're trying something.
Do you know what?
Like
the youngsters, I've got some great songs. The James Tilly one, I was a big fan of James Tilly's song. It's just some of them are quite intricate in terms of, like, it's not old school. You know, we used to have, like, 10 songs, and they're all, like, the same sort of tunes. So, but the James Tilly song was really good.
Because obviously we'll talk about the game of Colchester, but I saw you on Tuesday at Colchester.
And we saw each other date night.
You and your dad and Mark, you all and Mike, was it Mike? What's his name? Mark's brother. Owen. Yeah, I always get them two mixed up. Owen, you stood and you were around the youth kind of thing, the youngsters.
Oh, big time. We are very much in sort of incognito with the youth.
And I did Stevenage away because my boy's 14. He went and stand in amongst it, singing the songs. And I've got to say, I absolutely love them. I think they're brilliant. They try and sing. They're not too much hassle.
They were brilliant. There was one lad in particular who was going a bit mental, which was quite funny. But in general, I thought they were great. They're always good fun. And it's just quite interesting because they were going mental. And obviously you got the general's boy. And you got the general, the other side of like us. Yeah. So the general was sort of like asking, almost put his hand up. I've got a song, and they were like, "Yeah, no, we're doing our own thing."
You know, one of my favorite things is winding up Lee Willett.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
I love Lee. I think Lee's brilliant. I spoke to him in the pub before. Colchester.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
And I said, "Well done on the flags." He's putting all the flags up. We've got six more flags to go up since he took it over, which fantastic. But Lee gets really, really annoyed if you sing the songs too fast.
Oh, really?
Like, really annoyed, really angry. So when he starts a song and he's trying to, I try and then make it go a bit quicker just to see his face get really angry. Sorry, Lee, if you listen, but yeah.
But I was talking to Dad. I don't know if anyone had the same thing, but it was an absolute nightmare getting to and from Colchester yesterday, Tuesday. Honestly, getting back, we should have been home just before midnight. We didn't get home till 1 a.m. It was the A12 was like, right, we can't do this. Going along, M25 closed. I genuinely believe driving, there's only one worse away day that I've ever kind of had. I didn't even get there. Me and my great mate Dan Lewis, who'll probably be listening to this, we drove to Shrewsbury.
We've had this conversation before. Either or. We've had this argument.
And we were driving along, and Hannah's dad, oh God, he's going to kill me if you listen to it, he basically gave me a car. And I was like, okay, this is great. And it was all good. But the bonnet was like bumping a little bit, like the latch. So it was sort of bobbing a little bit. And I was like, it's not too bad. And I was kept thinking, oh, it can't be too bad. It's not going to get too, I'm not going to drive fast enough where the whole thing's going to go mental. Anyway, so I'm driving along whichever road it is, got stopped. And it was getting to the point where I like to get to the ground an hour early. I like to sit, relax and sort. But it was getting to the point where I was like, right, it's 2:30. To Shrewsbury, 2:35. The traffic was getting worse. So I was like, right, I'm going to have to peg it. Anyway, I've put my foot down and the whole bonnet, right, no word of a lie, has gone straight up and covering the windscreen. So it's literally gone right up with all the air underneath it, has like racked it up and it's covered the whole of the windscreen. And Dan Lewis basically was like, okay, I said, I can't see. I'm literally like 70 mile an hour. I cannot see. And he was like, right, go left a bit. Right, okay, all the way across. I had to look out of his window to get home. I didn't get home till midnight that night and didn't even go to the game. I was absolutely fuming. But Colchester was just I don't know what it is. I just don't like it. I mean, they did some good stuff, don't get me wrong, but I think we were talking about it in the car. I think it's Colchester and Gillingham are my worst away days, I think. What's yours?
Well, we're going to talk about this later on.
I thought we could do it now, but you don't do it now.
No, because we were going to do it later. Because now you're just getting on all that content
You're such a warlord, aren't you?
Well, no, I've got stuff planned. You know what I mean? I've put it planned. Right.
I don't want anyone else
DMing me saying that.
Don't want to rain on your parade. It's obviously your podcast about you and everyone.
Pee on my parade, and I don't want people moaning about the timings of this.
Welcome to the Leafage podcast, everyone, with your sort of resident slave. Well, come on in. Let's go into it then. So let's talk about
Wrexham.
Us and how unbelievable we've been. Good couple of games, weren't they?
Yeah, Wrexham was I thought we were very good. First 22 minutes, I thought we were brilliant. Then we were saying, in our section, we were saying, problem we got now is we haven't scored. When you're on top, and you're dominating a game, you need to score. And we didn't really test Foster quite easy. One of my proudest moments, though, at a game is Foster came over to take a free kick right in front of us. And I started to tune, you're just a YouTube. And
of course,
people can guess the rest. And everyone went off on it. Even the families were singing it to him. He kind of loves it. He loves all that.
Yeah, he probably went on his Leaf Inch. He runs his own podcast. He's the best.
Yeah, I thought we were excellent throughout the game. I said on the debrief on Sunday, I thought Ollie Palmer was horrendous. I said, me and you spoke about this. I thought he was horrendous. I'd have our free over him all day long. Glad he's not. I know he scored during the week for them, but I'm glad we haven't got him. I'm glad we got the three we can choose from and hopefully bring in another one. But I thought across the park, I thought we were brilliant against Wrexham, and I thought they were bang average, if I'm honest.
I'm not going to lie. I thought at the beginning of the year, they were going to be the team that absolutely runs riot. And watching them on Saturday, they scored, if anyone hasn't seen it, a bit of a deflected little goal. I don't see them doing a lot. And I thought we were great across the park. I thought we were really good. Just Joe Lewis's shorts. I mean, we won't come to Tuesday just yet, but it looked literally like he had his bum out all game.
If he stays with us the full season, which I hope he will, obviously he could get recalled, but centre-backs don't normally get recalled. But if he stays with us all season, I think Tranmere away is the last away game of the season.
Yeah, and everyone's going in it.
Goes as Joe Lewis and wears really short shorts.
I thought he was magnificent. By the way, I mean, he has been superb.
Do you know what he reminds me of?
Go on.
A bit like Herman Eriksson.
Okay. So I can see a little bit of what you're doing with Herman Eriksson.
Only because we'll come on to Colchester in a bit, but he went on a mazy run.
Yeah, I remember he just went going, didn't he?
Yeah, and he just steamed out and it was like, well, this is Herman-esque. I think the way he wins headers, he don't care who he's going up against. I think Johnson next to him against Wrexham was absolutely superb. Johnson started left back, didn't he? I thought, that's not
Wrexham. Wasn't it Brown left back?
No, it was Johnson left back against Wrexham, and then we brought Brown on to come on It was Colchester Brown started left back.
Oh, of but course, Nerfield, yeah.
Nerfield, I did say to a couple of mates, I've been very disappointed with Nerfield in the first few games I've seen him.
Yep, agreed.
But I can kind of give him a little bit of slack because he's not had a left back near him. Johnson's not a natural left back. He stays, he goes inward as well. He goes inside because he's a centre back. So he's not getting up and down like Jack Curry would. Or even, Brown don't go up and down, but Brown, no, he's a left back. He can support him. You can go back to him and he puts balls over. Nerfield can make runs, which we see against Colchester. But yeah, Nerfield was the only one I was a bit at this point against.
I think you're so right. And that's why I'm kind of holding judgment on Nerfield. Because obviously, in modern day football, the fullback goes around, does the overlapping run, and either the defender goes with him or stays, and it kind of makes your decision. And I think at the moment, he's kind of stuck with the... with a real difficulty where he's kind of right, well, I've got to go one way here, really, and cut back. The other thing, which is interesting, and Tilly's obviously been decent, but Tilly's left-footed. I'm surprised they don't switch. I was quite surprised they haven't switched. They didn't switch at Colchester either. In all of the season, the only concern I've got is, like I said, both fullbacks. I think Ogundeir didn't do anything wrong against Wrexham, but I felt they targeted a lot of their game was down their left side. I think it's just that case of not being able to just get forward, and just the whole game needs to go forward 10 yards. But even the passes, well said to Dad, I was like, just pass it in front of him, let him run onto it. But I thought Armani Little in particular looks to be the player that we had very, 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 very early on in his loan, if that makes sense. Just, it must be the hair. His hair's lovely as well. I just think he was
shocking
here. Magnificent.
And is it cut? It looks ridiculous.
No, I think he's much better than the...
I mean, you're talking to someone with no hair, so...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I don't really
have I've got amazing hair, so... Yeah.
But I think, and people will say, well, this is because you hated Woodyard. I think that Reeves next to Little is now meaning that Little goes off and does stuff that he can do. And it, do you know what I mean? Where Reeves is talking the whole game. I didn't think Reeves had a great game against Colchester. Still a solid seven. Still does things that you think, wow, that's amazing. Do you know what I mean? Because his standards are so high. When he's at only a seven or even an eight, you just think, well, do you know what I mean? But Little was everywhere. I thought he was brilliant against Wrexham. There were some mad shouts against Wrexham, though, that some people said that he had a bad game, Little.
Who?
A couple of people on Twitter, I think one at Brooklyn Don was like, and then there was a couple of people said, are you like, what game was you watching, kind of thing? But people watch it from iFollow, see a different game to the people who watch it in the stands, and it always intrigues me that people see games differently.
It's amazing where you are on the pitch as well. If you're behind the goal and you can be distant. I thought Boogie was good. I thought Ali Hamani lets him run his socks off.
I love Omar.
I think I said to Dad, it was like he was a. He is a proper old school Wimbledon centre forward. We would have loved him, you know, him like a Leeburn type. He's just physical. You kind of know when you've had a game with him, he's not going to score you loads of goals, but my God, is he going to be physical when he's going to be a handful?
Wrexham had that big, ugly centre back they got from Huddersfield.
Yeah, Doyle, was it Doyle?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember his name, but he was really ugly geezer. And I thought, he's going to have a bit of an easy game. And Boogle just kind of bullied him a little bit first fifth. And he was like, oh, wow, right. He was winning flick ons that he shouldn't win. He gets right amongst it that he brings two centre backs into him, which leaves then Ali with a little bit more space. My only worry at the moment with us is I know Tilly scoring the goals we scored to Tuesday is our goal scorer, our strikers. Ali, I know we're relying on Ali from last year. We all think Ali's going to bang in goals, but he does look still not 100% fit for me.
Davison, really? He looks sharp. I just think we were just talking about it at halftime. I feel like he just needs a goal. I don't care how he gets it. What's frustrating is two penalties, we're top of the league. So it's kind of, he must be sitting there thinking, wow. And I think he did everything but again, sort of drifting into both games. There were a number of times against Wrexham and Colchester where it's like, just hit it, just hit it, just hit it. And in his form, he's just whacking it, takes an extra touch, defenders in position. I think he's working hard.
We still need that fox in the box kind of striker, the John Main kind of striker. I did say I said Tom Delford instead of Dom Telford. And everyone's slating me. I think we need that kind of player. I think we need someone who's going to literally just stay in the box. Ali, they move around. Boogo moves around. Boogo and Davison are very similar, so I think that's good because them two can switch, swap and stuff. I don't like Pell in at number 10.
I'm with you on that totally. He's kind of gone from in my head, as a starter, Pell, and almost as a, to be honest, almost like a captain. if I'm honest. I thought at the beginning of the season I would have given it to him. I can't see him getting on the pitch. And again, we're kind of drifting between stuff with Colchester, but looked really leggy. Like him and Davison came on.
I think he's
I thought they looked really leggy.
Struggling. There was a picture in pre-season with his leg. You know, his shin looks like he's got about four shins in it. Yeah, there was a picture in pre. I don't think he's 100% fit either yet. I don't think he could possibly be carrying. But what I do love, and I said that we'll, as you say, flip between the two games. We've got good strength and depth now. So we brought Sasu on. I thought that was the wrong decision on Saturday, but I like the fact that we were bringing him on. Do you know what I mean? I would have brought McLean on myself because
I totally agree.
Would have been after on a high from the Tuesday against Coventry. And I think we were looking at an out and out striker, but then Jackson's probably looking at it. It's Wrexham. Will we take over him a little bit? He's got McLean. He's playing against Sasu's big. He's strong. He's quick as well. So where we weren't looking to attack Wrexham as much as, say, McLean would have got the ball down and looked to attack, Sasu does that, but he also can defend a little bit better.
What have you made about the McLean stuff? Obviously, scored against Coventry, played, worked hard, haven't seen him since. Like, not got on the pitch.
He's on the bench,
twice.
Though, which he wasn't
is there
first game.
Am I reading into something that I shouldn't be? Or yeah, is it 100%. A case of he's just not good enough in terms of, bearing in mind, you know, we're using three or four subs, he's not featured.
I would say he was good enough. I just think Tilly's doing way better.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
And Newfield, as I said, I'm cutting him slack because Colchester, so I thought he was phenomenal. The other two games, he hasn't really had that left back to back him up. I think they're probably just ahead of him. And I think he needs to take it. He took his chance against Coventry, which now means that he's on the bench because before he didn't even make it on the bench at Grimsby.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right.
And that's one thing I did like about Jackson last year. He said if people come and they claim that shirt, they will have it for long periods, which, do you know what I mean? You sometimes think, oh, that's mad. But I get it. Now we've got people like Little, Reeves and stuff like that who are thinking, I can't play badly now because if I do, Ball's going to come in. Morgan Williams are going to come in. Who else we got centre midfield? I can't remember the last one I was going to say.
You've got Ball, Morgan Williams, you've got Pell.
Pell. So you think, right, I have to play well I have to be an 8 out of 10 every game now, or I could be dropped. And if I'm dropped, Ball, I'm guessing he's chomping at the bit to get into the team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which he can't at the moment because Little and Reeves are doing so well in that midfield.
Well, I don't know if you read or not, but the last away game we won was Colchester.
Days, yeah.
Which I didn't realize. I went to that one as well. Just wanted to ask you then. We spoke a little bit about half time. What do you feel are kind of the fundamental differences that we're doing at the moment as to last year? So, I mean, I spoke an example to you about. I kind of feel like rather than having Woodyard sitting and almost making a 3-on-2 with the centre backs at times, it's almost kind of like every player has been given the trusted to do their jobs, if you like. What do you think are the main differences between the two?
For me, we've upgraded in pretty much every position. So we've had 10 players come in. Bass is an upgrade on Zanif, right? The centre-backs, the two centre-backs are an upgrade on what we had last year. Even Lewis and Johnson could be an upgrade on Towler.
Jesus.
Right? I just think Johnson is unbelievable. I think people are not really...
I wasn't that sold on him. I think he played really well against Colchester. I think he was...
Without doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
He ain't doing anything. Do you know what I mean? I just think we're better in position. Lee Brown looks good with them two. I thought he was brilliant against Colchester Brown. He did shithousery right in the right minutes. You want it to be done. Do you know what I mean? He's winding up their player. Their player then starts pushing him around. We've only got a few minutes on the clock. The refs, do you know what I mean? He might not be stopping it. They should be. But do you know what I mean? He'd done the shithousery that we've moaned about before, but in the right context, in the right times. I just think we've got Reeves and Little upgrades on what we had in the midfield last year. I just think we're upgraded everything within our players. We've also got players who are going to go and give 100% because, as I said a minute ago, we've got strength in depth now. So if you don't play well, you could be on that bench. And then we've got another player coming in who's going to tote your shirt. Morgan Williams, Ball are going to be chomping at the bit to get in that midfield. Do you know what I mean? Williams is going to be a breakthrough star. That's what people are saying. But you can't get in because we've got our two midfielders are doing. And I just think we're better in all positions. And we've still got, I reckon, a couple more players to come in.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like there's we're going to need a fullback, definitely. Whether it's just a left back, just a right back. I would rather obviously have someone, a young lad who can play a little bit of both and work around it. Because I don't think Johnson and Brown, I thought Brown was okay against Colchester. I don't think he's... The problem I have with Brown is that he's going to pick and choose his runs. He has to.
Yeah.
That's just a fact of him being the player that he is. He's very rarely going to be deep in the half because he's not going to get back. And Newfield's the kind of guy who, in my opinion, needs to just focus on going forwards. I thought he was great. The thing for me, the difference I feel like is because everyone's kind of staying in a position to a certain extent where they're kind of almost going one for one, you are creating those spaces. So Newfield was an example. I was saying to Dad, I was just watching it like, this lad just needs some space. He just needs space to run into, not congested, one-on-one, wide. And as soon as he got one-on-one, he went past the bloke and it was absolute dodder, wasn't it? Great cross, great goal.
And he hits the bar.
And I just thought he just needed to create space. And I felt that Reeves not necessarily dropping hugely deep. When we got the ball, he does. And obviously when we lose the ball, everyone's getting back. But the amount of times that we went 2-on-2 on their top two, Akindi and the young lad who was on loan from Luton, I think it was, it just seems to be that the players, and it's amazing actually, one of the old Bill who goes, Cuffy's a great lad, he watches all the Wimbledon games now. He was saying that what's interesting is that the trust, I think it's fair, the trust that is given to the defenders, they're just trusted to do the job. And for me, it just looked like, rather than Woodyard panicking or us panicking, like, oh my God, it's Nightingale or it could be this. They seem to be trusted. And it'll be interesting because I thought Pierce did a really good job and Lewis did a really good job on Palmer on the Wrexham game. Didn't see a Dickie Bird. It was weird. He didn't even look interested, I didn't think, Palmer. I just felt like we did a good job, but I feel like we need to get a bit higher up the pitch, but I feel like we've kind of trusted our players to do what we need to do. I think it's been a nice positive start.
And that's why I say that I think the quality's improved. Do you know what I mean? So they can be trusted because they are, like Will Nightingale, bless him, as much as we love him, the three centre-backs we have now, with Callum Baye coming back, are all an upgrade on Will Nightingale by a country mile. Do you know what I mean? And people don't like hearing that and saying that, but unfortunately it's true. There's three massive things for me on Tuesday. I think Ian, his name is, he's a massive German football fan as well, and I follow him on Twitter. And I said, we put out on the WOD, what your thoughts in the comments. And he said one thing for him was, it was actually enjoyable watching Wimbledon play on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which I came away absolutely buzzing off that performance, because that was a Wimbledon performance. Do you know what I mean? There was a couple of times they hit the post. Do you know what I mean? They had a couple of
chances. Arguably had three really good chances, didn't they?
But there was one good thing for me. I thought Ogundeer was, brilliant. There was
one best time, game this year, definitely.
We mentioned it at half time when they put a ball at the back post for Akindi, and I saw Akindi coming in against Ogs, and I thought, shit, they've planned that because he's. And he just blent into him.
Yeah, it was great. I know exactly what you mean. He's almost jumped backwards, so the Kindy went back with him. The ball went out.
Brilliant. That's the one. Two, just going home, enjoying that game of football, thinking that was brutal. Like, we all come out buzzing after that, all the boys back home. And three, for me, Johnny Jackson, because I think we were critical of him last year, which I think was fair. I think a lot of people were critical.
I don't know how anyone could not think it, to be honest. So no, it has to be.
But you've got to give him his due that he's taken on board everything that was said to him in the fans forum. You know, we've said before that we didn't want a Wimbledon man to come in and manage the club. We didn't, you know what I mean? Because that way it gets it right. Which is true. Johnny Jackson's coming. He weren't a Wimbledon man. I think now you can turn around and say Johnny Jackson is a Wimbledon man. Because you can now.
That is another podcast, Lee Finch.
Because he's bought in his own squad. This is his squad. Him and Craig Cope have worked together to bring in the players that he wants. So we've said it before. If it didn't work out, if we had drawn that game or lost that game on Tuesday, we'd have been 2 points out of 12. No, nine. Sorry, because we played three league games.
Yeah.
2 points out of nine. People would have started questioning him straight away. Some of the people that want him out, still want him out now. I mean, in 4 weeks' time, when we've lost four in a row, I'll be calling his name. You know what I mean? You know what I'm like.
Of course you will. Hashtag Finch out.
And singing a happy birthday to him at the end of the game, I know it sounds a bit cringe and a bit sad, but it was just a moment of, we just won, it was his birthday, and you could see he was taken back by that, and he was like, wow, do you know what I mean? This is my club now. And I think he got it. And the togetherness of the players coming in every goal, giving it to the fans, come on, do you know what I mean? Give us some noise. Reeves, he was doing it against Wrexham when he was taking the corner. Give us the noise and stuff like that. I thought the atmosphere against Wrexham was spot on. I won't go into too much, but there was some stuff at Wrexham I didn't really like. like with the stewards again and stuff, which have gone through on a debrief. I've got to say, Colchester, the way Colchester do stuff is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, they were all of it was brilliant. The whole away day was fantastic, wasn't it? In terms of the football experience, the travelling was an absolute farce. But
getting
the actual
in, getting in with your ticket, breeze.
How easy was that? They literally just went, cheers, yep, buzz, see you later. Buzzing.
They opened the gates at half time so people could go out and have a fag. So you could go out and have a cigarette. I don't smoke, or you could vape. But you could. I said to you, look at this. I've got a bottle lid on my drink. Do you know what I mean? They treated us like adults. You could stand up. Even the Colchester fans, I noticed they were banging drums. They were standing up as well. There was no stewards steaming in, checking tickets, asking. Do you know what I mean? And I just thought, do you know what I mean? Program was free. They gave away a free program.
I've never been to a game, a league game, where I've seen a free program.
Last year they did it as well.
Did they really?
Mm. And that's I think it's something that they're probably looking at, as we said before, coming on and recording, is they probably get a lot of sponsors in the programme and say, look, instead of 1,000 people buying it at £3 a programme, we can give away 4,000 of them. Do you know what I mean? We'll print 3,000, give them away for nothing. If they run out, they run out. If they don't, we can then put them in a shop. I think it's a great idea, and I really did appreciate it. I took one. My boy took one. Do you know what I mean? It was brilliant.
So. I think what you've said about Jackson, I think, is really fair. I think I'm not by any stretch of the imagination Uber Johnny Jackson, but I think he's had a very, very strong start to the year. Also, he's making subs at the right time. He's not sort of sitting. He, you know, on, I think it was on the weekend, we made a triple sub, I think I saw.
Yeah.
He just seems to be quite active. I feel like I'm comfortable with the people that he's sort of brought in. I know I'll be careful because we kind of had these conversations last year, but what's nice is just, as I said on the pod last week, the fact of drawing Saturday, winning Tuesday, it just means that for me, it's been a good start to the year. We're seventh. It's a good start to the year. Had we drawn it, I think we're the conversation, we can still be positive about the experience that we've had, and it's been a good start in terms of the playing, but the actual results, the win, I think, is massive. And I think the fans on Tuesday were brilliant. I thought Saturday was really enjoyable. I thought the fans were pretty good as well. We had it was better behind the goal in terms of the atmosphere. Getting in the ground was just a bit of a farce again. But in general, it's nice to be able to come on and talk about a Wimbledon side that we kind of can feel happy with and we feel comfortable about. It's nice.
Something special is happening this season, Danny. I feel it.
Oh,
Timmy Waters.
Don't
something
do
special.
This
is
don't
a very special squad. This
change
it
your
reminds
water
me of something. Yeah, there's something going to happen this year, I'll tell you now. And also, we've got Sutton away and then we've got Forest Green at home. That gives us enough time to keep the grass growing, so it'd be longer by the time we play Forest Green, and we're guaranteed to beat them then. Do you know what I mean? So, right, we'll move on. And when we come back, we'll discuss non-league gems, and is non-league football something that we should be looking at more?
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back, and as I said before, we're going to be discussing non-league gems. So we signed McLean from Hereford. We're not a club that usually goes out and signs non-league players. I don't know, Danny, you'll probably tell me in a minute. I can't remember the last time we signed. I think Piggott came from Maidstone, but he was a Football League player before he went to Maidstone, played for Southend, a couple other clubs, Charlton, I think.
Stop going on about Southend. Just let it go, all right?
It's got to play.
We know you're from there.
I'm not from there, mate. I live here. I'm not from here.
Hey, you're from there now, son.
Right. So non-league gems. So, yeah, McLean, we were saying before, non-league, is that something we should be looking into, Danny? Would you be looking? I said to you, I'd rather sign a player like McLean. People like Adam Roscoe, I'd rather go for the people like Roscoe's. I know Roscoe, people say, wasn't that good. The Crow, he came on here, was really good when we spoke to him, loved talking to him. He still loves it, comes down to Wimbledon quite a lot. Didn't really work out for him. I'd prefer that to signing loan players like Terry Oblade or the guy we got from Barnsley, the tricky winger that played one game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd rather, I know we get them for nothing pretty much because Fulham pay their wages still, or Barnsley would have probably paid his wages. But I'd rather look at getting a McLean, a gem, and then they go and do well. But Peterborough do it really well. What's your view?
I feel, firstly, thanks very much for just talking about it because it's quite an interesting topic. And again, it was one of the conversations coming back with like, do we do enough on it? So I've done a little bit of a recce on players who we bought from non-league since Joe Piggott. And I reckon there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, 10 including Piggott, if you like. So that's what, 10 in 8 years? And I would have thought a club of our nature, we should be getting one a year for me as a bit of a project. However, when you look at this list, you can kind of see the reasons maybe why not. So I'll just read through it. It's also interesting, the positions. And I think a lot, it's very easy to try and pick up a non-league forward. There may be a defender, if you like. But anyway, so it's McLean, Cosgrave, which was so-so, but not really.
No, he wasn't.
Roscrow, Zaki Awala, which is a bit of a weird one because he just leatherhead. Corey Andrews, never really saw him. We also got the guy from Holland, Cheyenne Harrison, which I kind of have put in the non-league bracket, who God knows where he's at now. Didn't he leave us, go to Fleetwood?
He got a really bad injury. I think he was at Morecambe last I heard. But
that'll be it.
He was the one who came on. He looked all right, and then he slipped on the ball or something. Then he got a bad injury at Peterborough.
And he got taken out big time. I think it was Peterborough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shay Alexander, who is starting for Gillingham. So whether or not you can class him as a gamble, and again, it was Barnett. Nesta, Guinness Walker. Mitchell Pinnock is the other one as well. And obviously you've got people like Piggott. I do feel like it's a really good idea to do it. But the problem, obviously, is that it does come with, if you look at that as a strike rate, McLean is, no one has a clue. I would say Cosgrave, Roscrow, Awala, Andrews, Harrison are no's. Not really that bothered about them. Shay Alexander was okay, I guess, but I wasn't that bothered about releasing him. Nesta, I thought he was okay at League Two. I think he'd have been fine, but not really a League One player. I'm surprised, and he's back in League One and he's not playing. And Mitchell Pinnock was, I really liked him, but he was hit and miss.
Mitchell Pinnock's a League Two footballer for me. He's gone to Northampton. He's done well in League Two with them. He's gone up into League One and not really done much when he's been up in League One with Northampton. So, yeah, Awala, I'm not really giving you as a non-league player that he was with us for, what, 25 years as a warm-up coach for the boys at training and stuff when you needed an extra goalkeeper. And as our youngsters went on loan, or they were too young to play with the first team, so he came down and we kept him fresh because he was playing for Leatherhead. I didn't mind the idea of it when Robbo signed him because you always thought he was only going to be a number two, a number three. Do you know what I mean? He just unfortunately was, what, 4'5". Andrews? He's gone now.
Corey Andrews
at Wilston now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's at Wilston. I don't think he got a chance, really. Again, I don't think he was a Robbo signing. So Robbo didn't really give him a chance. He played Cosgrave more, but Cosgrave now is at Halifax. So again, he's dropped down to probably his level. He scored a couple of goals for Halifax, but yeah, Cosgrave is at Halifax now. So, yeah.
Should we be doing it? Should we? Is it an area that we've underachieved or underdeveloped? Or
see, the two you talk about, we got Nesta in from Met Police. So it's a very low level, and we turned him into a league footballer. He's still a league footballer. I think even if he left Reading now, he'd probably go League Two.
Yep, I agree. Totally agree.
He's gone from semi-professional to professional. Shay Alexander, Barnett won a great conference time. But again, he's now an established League Two footballer. He was League One with us, I think, when we signed him, wasn't he? League One or League Two?
Yeah, we got relegated and we released him and he went to Gillingham.
He gave him a couple of good years for us. Do you know what I mean? So, and now he's at Gillingham, he's playing, he's starting, so he's obviously improved. So again, he's a good footballer. I think it's something we really need to look at. Peterborough do it really well. They sign good non-league footballers and they sell them for a lot of money. As you said, it's easier to pick up your strikers from non-league. There's some players in non-league though that don't want to play league football. So they'll score, I think there's one that...
So Jason Pryor was with us, wasn't he? He's another one, by the way, who he barely played any game for us. And he obviously went to Dorking, They went full-time or went in the conference. He stopped playing, and then he came back, if I remember correctly.
He was one that was really good for us, and he would have done really well, except for he had his leg broken at Crawley from Akpom, who ended up playing for Blackburn.
Hope Akpan.
Hope Akpan, who broke his leg Crawley away. And if it weren't for that leg break, I think he would have been a very, very good striker for us. He'd gone off. He went to Bognor Regis, scored quite a few goals at Bognor. Then he quit football for, I don't know if it's personal reason stuff, but now he's at Dorking. He scored against Southend on Saturday.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I thought that he was not going to, I thought he went to Dorking, he left and then came back. Because I think there was talk about him not being able to play full time.
The other striker, I think it's Rutherhead. Is it
Seager? As well, they've got Ryan Seager, haven't they?
There's another one who's unfortunately got an issue with his heart. So he might not be able to play professional football at league level because he won't pass a medical, so to speak, and he can't play like full-time football. And there's a lot of them who earn good money playing semi-professional, non-league, that they, if they go into professional football, it means that they're actually earning less money. And you think, if you've got a mortgage and stuff, and at our level you probably have, you can't do it. There's a guy, Michael Cheek, I think he's about 32 years old.
Bromley. Is he Bromley guy?
Bromley scores 20 goals a year, but I think he's just happy at a level where he's scoring goals. He's getting paid probably quite decent. Probably does a job as a personal trainer or something, or football coach when he's not playing. And
You think, Lee, with, you know, the history of Wimbledon, like, you know, the Warren Bartons, the in general, Wimbledon had like a really big drive when we were in old terms of Wimbledon, of picking up players from lower leagues and developing them up. Do you think from our sort of cultural DNA as fans or as a club, that it's something that we should really be honing in? Or
a lot tougher nowadays.
Pardon?
It's a lot tougher nowadays to do that, though, Dan.
Because no, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just curious as to whether you think that we need to be doing it to buy cheap, sell high type stuff or not. I don't know.
100% we need to do it. And we need to, at Wimbledon, back in the Wimbledon days, Wimbledon FC days, we used to have a good mixture of youth. Chris Perry, do you know what I mean? Neil Sullivan's, people like that come for our youth team. Corks, yours. But then we also then signed the players from Brentford in League 2, League 1 for $200,000. Duncan Jupps, people like that would then come in. Ben Thatcher, Kenny Cunningham. We would
think we got Brentford, we got Blissett, Gale, Holdsworth, Roger
We'd
Joseph.
Have a
we
had a few, of didn't we? Both. And Chris Perry once said, I think it was on Socceram, and he said, like, all my mates are playing for Palace on these grass pitches, going, oh, look, why don't you come down here? He's playing for Wimbledon on concrete pitches. You know what I mean? They're going, why are you playing? You're going to get injured and stuff like that. He's going, well, no, I've got a pathway to get into the first team. So that's why I'm here. And I'll end up being a first team footballer. They all got released. Do you know what I mean? Played semi professional. He was one of the best centre backs I think Wimbledon ever had. I think it's hard nowadays because teams like Chelsea, teams like Fulham, Brentford now on our doorstep can stockpile hundreds of players. Do you know what I mean? So not a lot of them are going into non-league nowadays. Do you know what I mean? So it's harder. It's lower league level. They're not really going in. And the money nowadays in football, as I said before, you've got non-league footballers who are earning £1,500 a week playing non-league because they work, they do their personal training, they do their football coaching. They get paid £500 a game from, say, a Ryman Premier League team, hashtag are playing probably quite good money. Why not go do that? You're on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? You could get endorsements. It's a mad world that we live in nowadays that you could, there's YouTube football teams, Dan. Have you heard of a team called SE Dons?
Yeah, Southeast Dons, yes, with the rapper Dave in it.
Yeah, and the what's his name?
Massive
big
guy who goes and go on football.
Yeah, they're earning fortunes playing Sunday league football and putting it on YouTube. There's a five-a-side team. My boy watches it called, They're called Five Guys. They play five-a-side. They get 500,000 views just playing five-a-side, kicking off every week. SE Dons have got people that go watch them on a Sunday and they're earning good money. So, do you know what I mean? It's mad. Football's just a different game nowadays. That I do think with Craig Cope now going on, with Craig Cope in, I think he knows the market. He knows non-league a little bit better. And that's why we'll possibly sign them, kind of like, you think Ball come from Rochdale, he's come from a non-league team.
I'm with you though. I'm much more enthused and excited about a guy coming in from non-league than I am with Alone.
Yes.
I'd much rather go, do you know what, like they said, getting McLean over Lewis pre-season, I'm like, yeah, let's get the non, it's like the rag to riches story kind of feels more in line with the DNA of us as a club. And obviously we need to earn money and that's great. And I feel like each year, again, I don't know the money, so I don't know how big a punt it is, but there must be enough of a punt to go, Right, sod it. We'll have a look. And I wonder whether or not that will improve. And like I said, success rate is interesting because you can argue that it's a 50-50. And if it is a 50-50 for a club in our position, realistically, if you get three and they fail, and you get three that do well, you're up, aren't you, really? Because the three will wipe their feet and the bottom lot will go great.
I'd like to know who our loans were when we signed them players like the Shea Alexanders and Nesters. Do you know what I mean? Because as I said last year, I think not last year, the year before when we had Presley, people like that, I thought most of the loans failed. Even,
well, Cosgrave was Presley, wasn't he? Cosgrave came in and that was a Presley
even people
way.
Like
Mabude.
NYC, Nathan Young Coombs. I don't think he was a success because he's injured. I think he would have been if he had stayed with us all season. And I'd love to have him back now, NYC. I think he'd play really well in this team. I think he'd score goals in this team. But I'm with you. I'd rather go and get a McLean than go get a Oblade. Do you know what I mean? Give him a year. Give him 2 years. The problem we got is where we are based. You're asking someone to, like, McLean's now moved down. I don't know where he's living. But you're asking someone who was in recruitment and, okay, probably on probably less money now being a full-time footballer, but you're going to have to pay more for rent and bills and stuff because you were living
in Hereford.
I just
feel like, for me, Lee, there's no substitute to adult football. We've seen already great youth players, Bendels, Hartigan now obviously on loan at Barnet. There's no substitute for playing men's football. And it sounds a bit, I don't want to cross the streams or upset people, but playing in an adult league, regardless of the standard, scoring goals in adult football, as opposed to being a youth prodigy, I'm going to pick an adult football player who scored 15 goals or 20 goals in a season than a youth kid who's run riot and got 30.
But that's the problem with football for me nowadays is that you've got, back in the day, you got youth team players used to have to clean people's boots. So you talk about one person that went out of non-league and went all through the leagues and done really well for himself. Vinnie Jones, Stuart Pearce's. But they come from the hard thing that they had to clean the boots of players. Do you know what I mean? You had to clean their boots. And you'd get the piss taken out of you by senior pros and stuff like that. But it made you want their shirt. Do you know what I mean? Well, nowadays, you've got youth team players at Arsenal probably earning $2,500 a week, $5,000 a week. Do you know what I mean? Why would they want to go and play adult football? Why would they want to go and play men's football? They're earning enough. Even if they stay at Arsenal for 4 years, if they're smart enough, they're going to have enough money when they go. They'll drop into non-league, do their PT and do their £500 a week there and they'll still live a comfortable life. I think there's no reserve team football anymore. It's all youth team football. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's a real scary thing, Lee. Like, someone like Presley could have been earning quite a lot of money at Brentford, right? Say 7 or 8 grand. He ain't getting anywhere else. So he's almost been set up to fail. Is that unless he plays first team football, he's a what? Where is he now? Stevenage? He ain't getting that money.
There's no way
he's getting that money.
I've got to say, I think one thing that Wimbledon did right, Nigel Hicks, Mark Robinson, and now Michael Hamilton have got it right with regards to our youth team and how our youth team is set up and how they have to show respect. They have to clean. They clean the dressing rooms on away games. Do you know what I mean? And I think we kind of look at the old school way of doing stuff and bringing in new ways as well, like the park run. They do the park run every year. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, it's the Richmond Park run, isn't it?
It's getting bigger and better and faster every year. And I think that's one thing that I think Wimbledon still, as you said, our culture, our bloodline, our heritage kind of thing is that kind of way. And I think we are as close to it as we possibly can be. But as I said, when you've got Chelsea stockpiling 100 youth team players, they're charging people to play for their lower squad or not shadow squads, they call them. And they're charging parents who go, oh, my boy's at Chelsea. You're not at Chelsea. You're paying for the academy prospects, the one in 100. That's who you're paying for. Your boy's just going to get dumped when he's 16. Do you know what I mean? You'll get a free tracksuit out of it. And that's what I think is really sad about football. But I'm with you. I think we need to be looking for the Nesters. And I think we do it really well at a youth team level. Being the first team, we don't really get them non-league players in as we maybe should do. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I was talking to obviously Lewis Taylor, and a mate of mine who's working with him at Chipstead they've just taken over and they were talking about identifying players and how it works. And some of the guys that they were talking about, they were like, seriously, some of these guys, they are mustard. But it is also the other side of the equation when we're talking about Kwaku Frimpong, Dylan Ajay Hersey, and these guys are playing in Ryman Prem. And it's kind of that balance act. It's like, well, hold on a minute, they weren't good enough. Kwaku Frimpong and these guys, and Frimpong apparently played well against Kyle Shorten, was great, but that's his level.
But
so it's that real balance. And again, there's not loads of guys who are in the league, drop out the league, come back. Pickett obviously is an exception.
And I don't want to sound disrespectful to the Frimpongs and the Hersheys, because, you know what I mean, it does sound disrespectful, like, oh, we're just binning them to one side. But they were part of a League One squad 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they've not
had, they played minutes in the league.
They've had a few injuries here and there, but they've just unfortunately not been good enough. They've now reached the level that they are, and I hope they really do crack on, show what they can do, and maybe reach a higher level. And in a higher level, and you never know, they might learn, they might grow, and hopefully, and it also is people's circumstances. People might not have the best home life. They might be a cracking footballer, but their mum and dad can't get them to a game. Their diet's all wrong. Do you know what I mean? And they just don't have that influence and they drop out of football. And hopefully we do something really well at Wimbledon where we can pick players up. We pick them up from non-league. Like people like, oh, what's his name? Oh, he's at Ebbsfleet now. Well, he was, no, he's at Lewis.
Polian?
Ginger Geezer.
Ginger Geezer?
Yeah, he came from Sunday League into us. And now
Alfie Egan.
Alfie Egan. He was a Sunday League footballer. He wasn't even non-league. He was Sunday League. We spotted him, put him in our youth team. He then went on. He's had a good non-league career. Do you know what I mean? He's probably earning a decent wedge out of it. So fair play to them players. But yeah, I do think we need to be scouting. And hopefully Craig Hope, he knows what he's doing. Do you know what I mean? You can't have a bad word said about him at the moment.
No, agreed.
Fair play. But yeah, right, Dan, we'll move on. When we come back, we'll discuss some of our worst away days.
The Wombles had a dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing some of the worst away days. Danny kind of peed on my parade straight away with when the podcast started talking about Colchester being one of his worst ones. I think.
All right, mate, keep your ear on.
For me, Colchester is a good away day.
Colchester, do you think?
Yeah, because
oh, I think it's
rubbish. I like the stand. I like the way we're treated. I like the fact that I think it's been annoying because it's been Tuesday both times. I'd like to see what it's like on a Saturday because Colchester have a few decent pubs. So
I mean, how far? When we went last year.
2 miles.
2 miles from the ground to the city centre?
To the station.
And where's the city centre where you can have a decent drink up? And
it's another 15 minutes from
the
station. So you're looking at cabs only. But yeah, I get your point. And the problem is the walk from the pub we were in, Bricklayers, is all uphill. So they say it's 40 minutes. So, yeah, and then you've got
but to really, so a good away day should be, it should be, the ground's relatively accessible. You've got some decent place to have a drink or bag of chips or food or whatever, and you're not in the middle of an absolute terrible place.
Anywhere where there's a industrial estate, anywhere where there's like...
Northampton is an example.
I was going to say MK
rubbish,
and
isn't it? And MK.
And MK not because they're a bunch of scumbags.
It's just a rubbish location. It's anywhere.
You talk to any fan, they'll say it's literally, why would you want to be near a TGI Fridays when you go on an away day? Which is
but you can see the cinema, can't you, when you're in the away stand? You can see it over the top.
Northampton is an awful away day.
Yeah, agreed.
Wickham
but I also think, but also, you link in, though, a lot of these rubbish away days are new grounds.
Yeah, because they're on the outskirts. They've been placed on the outskirts of the town because they can't be in the city.
Rather than doing, like, even like Luton is a terrible ground, but it's not a bad away day. It's not bad. It's quite quirky that you're in the middle of a nonsense. But it isn't particularly, I found it's not too bad.
Some of them are only good away days if you get a result. So Luton, you'll remember, was a good away day. Kedwell scored that time when we won there. And obviously when Sneddon scored and we drew Ramsdale was unreal. That becomes a good away day because of the result. If we had lost 3-1 at Luton and you're walking around Luton at 11 o'clock at night, it's not the greatest away day, Danny.
Yeah, but Colchester, we won, we played great, and I think it's a crap away day. The game itself was great. I just think as an away day,
the roads,
it's rubbish.
You've got shit travel.
But it's also, in general, when you get there, though, it's a bit soulless. There's not exactly loads of... I know they literally just opened a Wendy's or whatever, but trying to get in there, the only way you can get there is a cab or parking. It's always... I just felt like, as an away day, that and Gillingham, as a whole, I just hate going to Gillingham. Like, the thought of the shit stand, pardon my language, the fact of... it's a rubbish... For me, I mean, again, we're in Wallington, so it's not an absolute killer of a journey, but you just drive there, the place is horrible, it's minging, I just think it's a terrible place.
Do you know one of the worst away days as well?
Go on.
In League One. Oxford.
Yes, again, that's it, the same thing. That's
awful
it.
Way
terrible
also,
ground.
I don't like
only
being,
three sides.
I don't like being put in a side stand.
Yep. Again, that was a conversation we had.
I want to be behind. I want to be behind a goal. So I mean, if we are in a side stand, like Peterborough's a good away day. It is because it's close to the station. There's there's a good barge pub, but you're in a side stand, so you have to wait up. I want accessibilities. Yep. I want good bars. So I'm always on pubs. So my mates put me on pubs because they
is drinking at the ground essential for a good away day?
No, because there's got to be good pubs. So one of the best away days ever, Barnsley away.
Miles I've not been there. I'd like to go there.
Miles away. But I found a pub called the Boulder's Arms. Or Moulder's Arms, sorry, the Moulder's Arms. It had a jukebox, a pool table. It was like someone's front living room, one of them old pubs. That's what you want, though. Somewhere where all away fans can go in. We're not going to have home fans coming in and be upset because we're in their pub or it might kick off. So it's just a Wimbledon pub, a good beer garden. It's got to be on
there. Yeah, well, I'll give
if
you
it's
that.
Sunny, if it's like weather we're having now at the moment, August, you want to be in a beer garden, like Ipswich. You want to be by the marina.
Yeah, Ipswich was nice. By the marina. Yeah, I'll give you that, yeah.
And you've got to have a jukebox in the pub because then you can put your music on and you're singing, you're dancing, you're getting up for it. You then go into the ground. You're buzzing by the time you get to the ground because you've listened to Oasis five times. And do you know what I mean? But you're buzzed. You're in there. You're singing there.
I know what you mean,
straight in. But yeah, some of them are horrendous because like the pubs are all full. Do you know what I mean? Never go to a Wetherspoons. Like Gary Milton always takes people to Wetherspoons.
No, that's pubs. Terrible.
People are trying, like old boys are trying to enjoy their curry and a pint for £4 at 10:30 in the morning, and you're just like, this is ropey.
I thought, I'll tell you what I thought was a good one, and the ground's a bit rubbish. I thought Accrington was a decent one.
Not
quite liked it. Have you not? Yeah, I thought Accrington
was decent.
Again,
it depends on the game. Accrington,
that one, yeah, I'll give you that one. Yeah.
My problem with Accrington, and I'm going to put another one out there, Bristol Rovers is an awful away day.
Oh, I've not done that one.
Bristol Rovers as a town is good, but again, the ground's miles away, and it's an open terrace. And again, it depends on when you're playing these games as well, Dan. So you could go to Bristol in August. Beautiful sunny day, you're in the open terrace, ain't that big a deal. But you go to in December and it's freezing, and it's raining, and your team loses 3-0, it's a bad away day. But I think for me, Oxford, I don't mind Gillingham. I don't know. Gillingham away ends awful.
Rubbish. I hate it. It's slightly skewed because I'm not a particularly big drinker. So I almost always will drive my dad or whoever I'm with, I'll always drive. So it's a little bit skewed. I just like, for me, I like to be able to get to a ground and be able to get in and out quickish in terms of on the road and go. Like, can I get near a motorway? Can we get moving? Whereas something like Northampton was just like soulless. Rubbish. It's also, I like a little bit of like, what's the word on? Like a little bit of football culture. Like, I don't want to just go in the middle of nowhere and just dropped in and be like, this is kind of, there's no identity, there's no chat, there's no regular, it's just a rubbish middle of nowhere.
One game I was really looking forward to last season and it really disappointed me, and it was one of my worst away games and I hated every minute of it once it started, was Arsenal.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to going to Arsenal again because, as you say, all the football culture, do you know what I mean? Highbury, I used to love Highbury, going to Highbury. Went to the Emirates and I hated every minute of it. I thought it was poor. I thought their fans were really poor. We're a League Two team playing against a Premiership team. They're all filming themselves, trying to be all YouTube muggy and all that. And I just thought, do you know what I mean? Someone's throwing drink over Wimbledon fans from the upper tier because they've gone 3-0 up. And I'm like, it's like us playing against a Roman Premier League team and proper trying to give it big... Billy Big Bollocks, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, yeah, I didn't enjoy Arsenal once.
Do you think Chelsea would be a good away day?
Yes, I do. I think it will because obviously.
And are you going to go?
I'm hoping to go. I was meant to be working, but unfortunately my taxi's been in the garage, so I had to cancel the job in the end.
Oh, right, okay.
I've had a right nightmare this week, but it's actually worked out. My missus is like, oh, that's funny. She reckons I'm over there in the night breaking my cab. Do you know what I mean? Going, oh, look, I can go Chelsea now, and I'm hot.
Because you were supposed to have a job in the morning, weren't you?
In the afternoon, in the evening.
Yeah. Oh, in the evening on Wednesday. Oh, right.
Yeah, I haven't got it now. And I'm hoping to go Chelsea. My mate who ain't go, he's on holiday. He's got a season ticket, so hopefully he'll be able to get me a ticket for it. I'm hoping we're getting 6,400 for it because apparently we've got the whole shed end. And
that's what I heard.
They usually give 6,000. That's one of my Chelsea mates. I wanted to call him a mug, but I don't want complaints coming into me again. But yeah, he is a mug, to be fair, Craig Marchant. He said they normally give 6,000 in the Carabao Cup. The only problem we got with Chelsea this year is because they've got no Champions League or European football, So he might take the Carabao Cup a bit seriously. So
I'm not bothered about that in the slightest. We've got no chance of doing anything out there. But
no, I'm not winning
day.
The game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about more of their fans going to it.
Oh, right. Well, that's fantastic. Because and the prices, it's not particularly...
26 quid, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's good for us. But I don't think it's the same as football, the FA Cup. Is it around... do we know... What do we get?
50-50,
no. What, for the League Cup?
I think so. I'm hoping, because David Barnard's a Wimbledon fan. He works at Chelsea. I'm hoping he's going to go, just give him 100%. We're, Todd Bowley, you just spent 800 million. This is a fan-owned club. Sell him the story. Do you know what I mean? Get John Green on the video, like, begging, and hopefully, because I know they've done it before. I'm sure they gave...
Yeah, similar. 45% each way.
They gave their programme sales to a club they were playing once, Chelsea. So, you know what, a bad away game, I think it'd be a really good one. If we can get 6,400 there, I think it'd be amazing. As long as there's not too many tourists or too many day trippers. So
I mean, what's Chelsea's capacity?
45, 50 in it. You know what is a bad away day? Close to Chelsea, Fulham.
That's expensive now.
I hated Fulham. You know, when we lost in the Cup, Damien Francis played left back or right back.
One of my worst games going.
Oh, I hated it. We shared with the blooming... the neutral end, and I was pissing next to a load of Fulham fans who were giving me a load of mouth. They're lucky. They're lucky I got held back. Seriously.
I'm just trying to, I'm just arrogantly looking out. If we get 38,000 at 25 quid a head, how much we could earn. Okay.
Someone worked out the other day, it could be about 300 grand once you take all costs and stuff out of it. And this is what I'm saying, yeah, we're using that money. But yeah, Fulham, I didn't enjoy Fulham. QPR is a great away day.
Yes, yeah, enjoy QPR. I thought that was good. A lot of them, I mean, I quite like Rotherham. I went up there, that was quite decent. That was a new ground. But you can
Have
see...
you been to every Rotherham ground?
I haven't been to Millmore.
I went to Millmore. 3-1 up and we drew 3-0. I went to the...
Don Valley?
Went to Don Valley. Wow, that was
Athletics.
Rough. Oh, what a rough area that is. Do you know what I mean?
Didn't that was just happened?
I've never been to New York.
Oh, you not been to the new one?
No, gutted.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
do you know one that I thought was going to be really shit, and it actually turned out to be one of the best away days I've had?
Go on.
Carlisle.
Oh, really?
I thought Carlisle was going to be an absolute...
My mate was, but Nick, who's listening, he'll be listening. He was like, Carlisle is a great away day. He said it's a really good one.
An absolute dump.
He said it's like Benidorm at like midday. It's
unbelievable.
Brilliant there.
It's like Newcastle. You go to Newcastle on a Friday. Yeah. No one works in Newcastle on a Friday. They're all out on a piss. We went to a pub. I think it was a Wetherspoons when we first arrived. So didn't know where to go. Straight to Wetherspoons. Place was rammed. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. So where
it's a great place.
None
to
of you
to
at
Newcastle.
Work. They're like,
you've not been. Just make an excuse.
Yeah. Gateshead is an awful away day.
Wasn't bothered about Borough overly. Didn't overly enjoy that. I mean, mind you, I went
great away day.
I remember going up there, going on a coach with me, my mate Dan Lewis, and some other lad, Street Boy, and we went all the way up there Street Boy, with a 0-0 in the cup. We won the replay. Went all the way up, got up there, and I couldn't afford. It was a kid at the time. I wanted a concession, and I didn't have enough money to pay to get in. That's how tight it was. I was like, oh my god, I can't afford to get in. But went in 0-0, rubbish. True was good. Quite enjoyed it. One massive stand.
That was Saturday, 0-0, wasn't it?
No, midweek I went to.
I went on Saturday, 0-0. One of my mates, Paul McMillan, he got on the pitch at half time. They did Easter egg competition. He won. He beat the Middlesbrough fan in a quiz and won a load of Easter eggs.
Go on, the lads.
And it was the first time I met, oh, I forget his name now. Passed away, unfortunately. They used to call everyone, you cunt. Oh, what is his name?
Right, big question though. Have you ever taken part in an away day competition? Like, do you know, on the pitch when they go, right, we want a Wimbledon fan?
No.
I remember the Jester doing one. I think he did one at Peterborough. Kick a ball into a skip.
If you do one of them, you should be banned from football.
Oh, no, don't be like that.
If you take a sign saying, can I have your shirt?
That's annoying, yeah.
Your kid should be banned. And then whoever you're with the kid, mum or dad, and if it's both, all family should be banned from that.
Wow. Well, I'm hoping Mrs. Baker's not listening. She's here, but I'm hoping she's... I'm going to keep it quiet. I'm hoping to go to a couple of new grounds this year.
Me too.
So looking at Salford, and yep. I said to you before, I think we should definitely try and do a ground together, and we'll do like a on the day pod.
Could be a bit messy, yeah. But my missus' birthday is the Thursday of Harrogate, so I'm trying to get her to go up on a Tuesday night. So we travel up Tuesday.
How
Harrogate.
Do you make Harrogate even remotely romantic? Or
it's Yorkshire Dales, isn't it? Yorkshire
Dales. No,
and
not
hopefully...
Not going to go, look, have a trip to Emmerdale. Right,
I was just about to say, she loves Emmerdale.
No one loves Emmerdale. That's a complete lie.
It's the best
lie.
Soap. It's the best soap out of all of them.
There are no soaps, mate. They're all shambles now.
Emmerdale's the best one.
Emmerdale. What is going on?
Love it. Love it, Emmerdale. Anyway, so she loves a bit of Emmerdale. Take her to the Emmerdale thing and then go, oh, wow, blimmin' hell, Wimbledon are playing up here at the moment. And then go Harrogate because I've never been.
There is not a chance. If you can manage to convince your wife to go up to Yorkshire to go somewhere which is sort of near, but not really near Emmerdale, and she buys it, and then you go to the game, you are an absolute messiah.
I bet you on my pie I can get it done.
Do you know, I'll have a bit of that. When is the Harrogate game?
It's the her birthday's on the October the 5th, so it'll be the 1st.
You don't even know her birthday.
3rd of October, her birthday's on the 5th, thank you.
Why is the game on a Thursday?
It's on a Tuesday, her birthday's on the Thursday.
So you reckon you're going to drive up on a Tuesday, which just apparently coincides with a Wimbledon game, yep. Convince her to come up, and then go, oh, by the way, we'll stay up in Harrogate, which is somewhere near Emmerdale. You're out of your mind.
Wednesday, we're going to Emmerdale. Thursday, your birthday. We'll get you a... We'll
if this happens, I will pay for you. I will pay for you and Mrs. Finch to go on a tour of the, whatever it is, the set. If you can get this...
Well, I only have to tell her that now. She'll go, oh, yes, do it. Then
No. Just do it. Book it all up and go, oh, it's great. And then I will put my hand in my pocket and pay for you to go around Emmerdale.
You're forgetting I'm not just pretty blue eyes here, mate. I'm not just a pretty face.
Hey, you've got something with your hair. You've got to have more to it than that.
I've got the charm. I've got the humour. She will be having the best couple of nights of her life in Harrogate. And I'll be at the Wimbledon game, I'm telling you.
Nobody's ever said that. I've had the best time ever in Harrogate. Nobody has ever seen that.
She'll love it. Right. We'll move on. When we come back, we'll preview
romance in Harrogate.
Thameslink Derby against Sutton on Saturday.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back for the final part of tonight's episode, or today's episode, depending on when and where you listen. So we're going to be discussing the massive Thameslink Derby on Saturday against Sutton. What are your thoughts, Baker?
I think Sutton are my dark horses this year. I think they're going to be you did say that, and I'm fortunately going to agree with you, which is annoying. I think they've got a decent setup there. I literally live, I could walk there within 45 minutes. It's quicker for me to get to Sutton United's game than Wimbledon, but it's one of the few games I'm missing this year. I don't know what it is about Sutton, but I'm not feeling it. But I feel like, I think it's going to be a really good mental task on the fact of last year, for me, they were two very, very, very sort of key moments of the season. Losing to Sutton at home was like the springboard to really play some good football. And almost we played brilliant football between Sutton and Sutton, and then we lost to Sutton, and after that we were rubbish. So I'm hoping that Sutton United, we sort of really, really use it as an opportunity to put that kind of to bed. And I am expecting a result.
Well, there will be a result unless it gets postponed.
I'm expecting a positive result.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I expect a result either way, because unless it gets...
Yeah, of course you do, yeah. Because, you know, you're still stuck into Emmerdale.
There's two things I think about as well. Is Bugle, I don't think they're overly keen that he left to come to us.
Was he offered a gig? He must have been offered a deal.
I'm not 100% sure. All I've seen is some people called him Judas online. Maybe it might be just two or three. You know what I mean? When social media breaks up to about 100 people said it. But yeah, I think that's going to be quite interesting. Him and Newfield going back as well. I know he was on loan, but yeah, I think we're a better team this year. One good thing for us as well is they're missing Smith. He got sent off the other day.
Yep.
He looks like a proper shit ass as well, because first game of the season, he waved off Colkeeper, got sent off.
That's it.
He got sent off the other day, and then people were waving him off, which was quite funny. So that's quite good for us, because I think he's mustard. But yeah, I'm expecting a positive result. I've got tickets to go, but I'm not 100% sure I can go. My missus, unfortunately, she's got something personal on, and that came in last minute, so I'm going to try my best to get down, but if I can't, I can't. But yeah, me and the boy got tickets for it, so hopefully I will be at Sutton. But if not, I'll...
What are you thinking? You're lining up the same way as Tuesday or Saturday?
Tuesday, 100%.
Okay, so you're lining up with Lee Brown playing no Pierce.
Exactly the same. Yeah, no Pierce. I think Johnson and Lewis look unbelievable together. I don't think you can break that up. I thought Brown was good. I think it's not going to be the best game of football, as in get the ball down and play. I think they might try and play a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think they're going to play a little bit longer,
We can play a little bit longer. So I think that was perfect for Brown. Oggs, starts right back. And I'll go with the same, pretty much the same team, the same bench, and just tell them to keep going on. And it depends on if we picked up any knocks or anything against Colchester. But yeah, I'd start exactly the same way as we did then.
It's hard to sort of disagree with that. I think it could be. Again, I'm always a bit wary of Brown, a left back. Always have been, and I'm not a particular fan of him at all. But I feel like after Tuesday, I feel like I don't. Pierce is decent, but I don't. If they haven't got Smith playing, I think I would probably go with Tuesday. I think I'd have to just give Brown the heads up. But I don't know how long Curry's out.
Their winger, does he, Patrick? Is he left or right?
I thought he was a centre forward, Patrick.
I thought he was a winger.
Okay.
So it depends. If he's right wing and he's going up against Brown, then unfortunately the place there, Brown gets done pretty much every day of the week. So yeah, the good thing is we've got, as I said before, at the beginning of the show, we've got strength in depth, so we've got players who can come in. I still think we need another fullback and we need another striker.
Yeah, desperately.
Massively. Billa, unfortunately, isn't. I don't know when he's going to be back. Curry, we've got no news on at the moment. Hopefully, it won't be too much longer. I think Curry's off, if I'm being honest, because there's no news on him, which I find very weird. I know Danny Macklin said he was injured, but there's been no update since. I've not seen one. That could be me not seeing it.
I'm not being funny, but if Curry gets sold, there'll be hell on the fact of, you know, definitely injured, blah, 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 on the stuff. And then if they sell him, that'll be
chaos. I just think it's gone too quiet for my liking. But again, that might just be me not seeing the information that has been put out there, but I've not seen any information of how long he's out for, what injury he's got. Do you know? Or have you not?
I genuinely haven't got a clue.
That's what I mean.
Billa was a hamstring, wasn't it? Billa was a hamstring.
It was a new injury.
But he's had
that,
yeah.
No, it was a new injury, Billa was, which is frustrating for him.
Well, obviously,
he's so good,
yeah. I mean, obviously, I'll be updating the sort of the predictions league thing. I'm going to be putting down 2-1 Wimbledon. I think we're going to carry on, and I think Sutton will be decent. But I just feel like at the moment, the way that we're playing, we could be quite punchy. So I think I'm going to go 2-1. What are you going with?
1-0 Wimbledon.
Yeah, good. And Bass has been pretty decent as well. I feel like he's
looks
been
solid.
Quite solid. Yeah,
we look good. We look defensively good. I think we'll nick a goal. I think it'll
be
cagey first 20-30 minutes. It depends on how Bugle and Newfield play. Will they play well going back, or will they be a bit? You know what I mean? You never know when you go back to a team that you've done well at.
You just feel as well with this bit, the first sort of 6 to 8 games are who you'd probably associate with being some of the lesser teams.
Hmm.
Feel like we kind of got to really make a bit of way here before we start getting up.
Especially after the last 3 games we've done. We've made our blueprint now.
Yeah.
So that's what it's got to be. And we've got to make a statement against Sutton. I hope if Bugle or Newfield score, they celebrate. And I hope it's right in front of the Sutton fans.
Of course you do. But it's nice to be positive. It's nice to feel like we're going to go. My dad said it beautifully. It was like, we just feel like we play well on our day. We'll be a match for anybody. And I feel like at the moment, Tilly in particular looks a very, very special talent. I was quite, oh God, it's Tilly. But he was terrific on, really quick, very deceptive, quite aggressive. But yeah, I think it's going to be a solid performance. And I reckon 2-1 would be about right, I reckon. I'm going to stick my head on the lock.
You've also got to send me the updated prediction so I can get that sent out so people can make their predictions. Or you just log on to the last one you sent?
No. I'll just send a new one to you now, and then people will log on to it. And what I'll do is in the next week, I'm going to try and find a program which is a bit easier to use, because it's sort of a bit fill out the form and I have to go through everything and create a league. So I'll find a list, make it not easy for everyone, so people can almost see how they're doing from a day to day. But
I'll get that sent out tomorrow so people make their predictions before Saturday.
Well, I mean, if anyone, you know, I got Wrexham bang on right. I predicted 3-0 against Colchester, missed out. Newfield at the bar. So at the moment, I'm probably the best person in the whole club at this, to be honest.
Not even the best.
I'm surprised
person.
You didn't say 2-1 and you're try and copy me.
Not even the best person on this podcast, mate. So.
Well, I've even been messaging Matt in the club shop and, you know, going to get my shirt tailor fitted. Lyle tailor fitted, he said. So, yeah.
Go up a size, they say. Go up a size. Hey, so hey, you'll need
I'm
double.
Going down, so I'm going down a size.
Double X, yeah?
Well, what's your, only, so only around the bottom.
You're 2-1 on 1-0, so right, brilliant stuff.
Anything all else? Right, well, that was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, anything else you want to go through before we block off for the night?
I'm still a bit bewildered about the whole Emmerdale chat, really. So I think we've pitched it beautifully. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks for the feedback. We obviously got a few interesting characters sending over a variety of different bits of feedback. And like I said, I think it's important. If there is stuff that you want to do or hear, or you've got any ideas or things you want to talk about, then let us know. And if you feel that we're rubbish and we talk too long at the beginning, then let us know. We'll listen to
we'll
most of
longer.
It and ignore a bit. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk longer. Next week, we'll talk about all the soaps and how far they are from their nearest football ground.
I'm off to go on booking.com and to book a nice B&B for me and the missus in Harrogate in October. But thanks to our sponsors, Season Master, for sponsoring the podcast this season. I'll be back with the Sunday debrief, which will be on Sunday.
Funny, isn't it?
Dave Baker's back next week on the podcast. We will have a guest. But yeah, thanks very much for listening. Come on, you Dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.